Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Okay, so this week something shifted, and I mean properly shifted. Boston Dynamics announced that Spot, you know, the dog-shaped robot that's been walking around construction sites and factories for years, is now running on Gemini Robotics ER 1.6. That's Google DeepMind's reasoning first model. Now, here's why that matters. It's not about what the robot sees anymore. It's about what it understands about what it's seeing. Spot isn't just recognizing objects now, it's reading gauges, it's checking safety compliance, it's spotting puddles on factory floors and understanding that a puddle near electrical equipment means something different than a puddle in a loading bay. That's visual reasoning, not pattern matching. Reasoning. And here's the bit that really got me. The robot improves automatically through cloud-side updates. No downtime, no manual firmware flashing. The intelligence just gets better over time. Think about what that means for a second. Industrial robots that learn from every deployment, everywhere, and share that learning instantly. The barrier between physical automation and intelligent automation just dropped. Again. Right. So completely different story now, but it connects. Notion quietly became a full AI agent platform this week. And by quietly, I mean they've been rebuilding this thing, completely rebuilding it, 4 or 5 times since 2022. I spoke with Simon Last and Sarah Sachs from Notion's team, and honestly, the story of how they got here is more interesting than the launch itself, because early attempts at agents failed, properly failed, and not because the team wasn't good enough, they failed because the infrastructure didn't exist yet. Tool calling wasn't a thing. Context windows were too short. The models couldn't reason well enough to handle uncertainty, so they kept deleting months of work and starting over. Not iterating, starting over. New architecture, different approach. And they did that until the technology caught up to the vision. What they learned, and this is the uncomfortable bit, is that wrapping a model isn't the same as building a system that actually works. The harness matters as much as the intelligence inside it. You can have the smartest model in the world, but if you can't manage its context, if you can't reliably pipe outputs into the right tools, if you can't handle failures gracefully, you don't have an agent. You have a demo. Notion figured this out by shipping early, iterating constantly, and being willing to throw away work when the architecture no longer fit the moment. That's how you build something real. Now, this next bit is where it gets interesting. Notion's pricing strategy reveals something the industry hasn't fully admitted yet. Not all tokens are equal, and not all intelligence is needed for every task. They introduce credits as an abstraction over raw token costs, because infrastructure, model type, and serving tier all factor into true expense. A simple email filtering task shouldn't cost the same as complex reasoning, yet most platforms charge uniformly or hide the complexity entirely. What Notion's team discovered is that users don't actually want speed when tasks run in the background. They want the right answer at the right cost. That alignment, capability, price, and latency all working together, that's where the real product design happens. Not in the model selection, in the system around it. And that's what took 4 rebuilds to figure out. Worth thinking about if you're building on top of any of these platforms. You're not just choosing a model, you're choosing an infrastructure strategy, and the bill at the end of the month reflects that choice. Right, let me show you something practical now. There's a walkthrough this week on setting up Claude API and GitHub Actions to auto-review pull requests. The cost? About 2 pence per review, not £2, 2 pence. And it catches roughly 30% of issues before a human ever looks at the code. Style inconsistencies, obvious bugs, logic gaps, the stuff that slows down review cycles and burns developer time. Now, this isn't replacing human code review, it's triaging it, catching the easy stuff so your team can focus on architecture, edge cases, and the decisions that actually matter. What I keep coming back to is this: if you can automate 30% of review friction for 2p per PR, what else are we still doing manually that doesn't need a human? The barrier isn't capability anymore, it's imagination, and maybe a bit of inertia. Have a think about your own workflows. Where are you spending time on stuff a model could handle in the background while you're asleep? Okay, so this next one is a bit heavier, but stay with me. Azim Ajar wrote a piece this week called The Classified Frontier, and it's about something we don't talk about enough. Frontier AI weights, the actual model files, are becoming a geopolitical asset. They're being physically transported in briefcases to secure networks, not downloaded, not transmitted, carried, like nuclear launch codes, and API access control has become the central governance challenge because distillation works, reverse engineering works, containment doesn't. If you give someone API access to a frontier model, they can distill it down into something smaller, faster, and entirely outside your control. you can't unrelease that. So the question becomes, who gets access? And on what terms? And what happens when the cat's already out of the bag? This isn't abstract policy stuff. This is happening right now. Governments are making decisions about model access the same way they make decisions about weapons export controls. And the thing is, we're not ready for that conversation yet. Most people still think of AI as software, but software doesn't get hand-delivered in a briefcase to a secure facility. The technology moved faster than the governance, and now we're catching up in real time, something to think about on the commute home. All right, let me lighten things up a bit. Anthropic shipped Claude Code 2.0 this week, redesigned desktop app, new feature called Routines, and Opus 4.7 is landing this week. What caught my eye is that they're positioning this closer to a full IDE now, multi-session management, workflow improvements, not just a chatbot for code and environment. And the Routines feature is interesting. You can set up repeatable workflows, like every time I start a new project, scaffold the folder structure, set up linting, and generate a README template. Things you do every time, but don't want to think about every time, it's not significant. But it's the kind of practical quality of life improvement that saves 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there. And that adds up. What this really signals is that Anthropic is thinking about Claude as a platform, not just a model. The architecture around the intelligence matters. Again, seems to be the theme this week, doesn't it? So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. Reasoning models are moving from APIs into physical systems, spot-running Gemini, Tesla's vision stack, humanoid robots coming online next year. Agent platforms are maturing from demos into production systems. Notion rebuilding 5 times to get the harness right, Claude Code positioning as an IDE, and the infrastructure layer, pricing, latency, cost per task. That's where the real product decisions are happening now, not in model selection, in system design. The technology is no longer the bottleneck. The bottleneck is understanding what you're actually building, a program or a product, a demo or a system, a wrapper or a platform. That distinction matters more this year than it did last year, and it'll matter even more next year. Worth having a conversation about with your team this week. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.